Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Anna Sale in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC and New Jersey Public Radio. After 4 long years of following the murky future of hydraulic fracturing in New York State, it's looking like we'll need to wait a little longer for clarity. The Department of Environmental Conservation's deadline to present fracking regulations came and went last week, and we're still a ways away from any resolution on the matter. Tom Wilbur is a journalist based out of Central New York and the author of Under the Surface, Fracking, Fortunes, and the Fate of the Marcellus Shale, and he's here to fill us in on the latest. Welcome back to WNYC, Tom.
Thanks, Anna. Good to be here.
Great. Well, what happened last week is a little confusing, so I want you to explain it to us. A deadline came and went, and we didn't hear any more on the status of the ban, its future here in New York State, but the state did file new draft regulations on future drilling, so where exactly do we stand now?
It did, and let's see, how can I explain this simply is the question. Just to take one or two steps back, it's important for listeners to know that there's three regulatory pieces that all have to fall into place. And the one is the SGEIS, the Supplemental Generic Environmental Impact Statement, that began in 2008. This is essentially environmental review. The second piece is health review. Okay, so the SGEIS looks at environmental concerns, and folded into that, according to advocates who are not eager to see fracking in the state, are health concerns. How will this affect people's health? And then the third piece are the regulations. Now, the regulations, as you just mentioned, were draft regulations were issued on last week on Wednesday under a deadline. If they didn't issue the, if the Department of Environmental Conservation did not issue those regulations, the rulemaking process would expire, and it would essentially set them back where they'd have to reopen this process that's been going on for 4 years to public comment and public hearings. So they issued the regulations under the deadline. However, they have not yet issued the environmental review or the health review. And this is a very confusing because the environmental review and the health review are intended to inform and shape the regulations. And so the activists that have been essentially protesting the advancement of these regulations through New York for 3 or 4 years now are saying this is completely backwards. How can they do this? So where does it stand now? The state looks like it will complete the entire process, the review process, the health review, and the final regulations in 3 months. Now, there's one other important contingency here, and that is Cuomo, Governor Cuomo's administration, and Joe Martens, the commissioner of the DEC, has qualified that by saying, we're going to issue these regulations and have everything finished up, but they might not apply because we still might decide not to go ahead with hydraulic fracturing. We have to see. Everything has to still become public.
So the regulations are basically the rules that would be in place for fracking if fracking became legal in New York State.
Correct, yes.
How to do it safely for the environment and for health, but the reviews of what the health and environmental effects might be are still pending.
That's right. So all three pieces are there, but they're out of order in terms of how the public is seeing them. And again, there is a big question about why are they out of order and why wouldn't the agency just wait, get the environmental review and the health piece of it public, and then go ahead and establish the regulations. And of course, one of the answers to that is this has been a long, contentious process. It's been open to public hearings. It's undergone several drafts. And so the argument on the other side of the table for the industry is we have made this process public. It's been open, and we're going to go ahead and start the regulations before the entire review process is finished.
So, listeners, we're looking to hear from you if you live in a community where fracking may potentially take place. Are you following the ongoing regulation in your community? How's the lack of clarity affecting the conversation there about what might happen where you live? 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. So, again, you said it's just been a long, drawn-out process for the environmental review, but what has taken so long, 4 years now?
Well, I think they were starting with essentially nothing, and they had permitting guidelines and bare-bones regulations for traditional shale gas traditional natural gas development in New York State, which has been a relatively minor part of the economy and small potatoes, essentially, compared to natural gas states like Pennsylvania or Texas. So New York State really had very little in place to deal with something like shale gas development, which is much larger in scope. And again, this gets back to the resource that is under New York State, which is the Marcellus Shale and the Utica Shale. These are world-class resources. So the scope and the intensity of shale gas would be far beyond anything the state has seen before. And I think early on, this came to people's attention when it goes back to a group of farmers that in Broome County that landed a deal with XTO Energy for $110 million to lease their land. That was in 2008. That brought everybody's awareness up that the level of money that was on the table signaled that this was really a different process. And then through a series of town meetings over the years, and one thing led to the other, people started asking questions. There was the call for the moratorium in 2008 under Patterson, and everybody began seeing that this really wasn't like your traditional natural gas development. So that's very important. So what has taken so long? I think the fact that this is really something that's very new and very different, and everybody wants to try to understand it as best they can.
Well, I want to ask you about timing. We had a comment on our website. Someone asked, hey, what's the rush? Won't their gas be there in 10 years and in 100 years? How are things like the price of natural gas right now, which is low, is that decreasing the urgency for there to be decisions in New York State on this?
Very much. I think that has given Cuomo's administration a lot of time. I think that has enabled him essentially to take this ambivalent stance where we're saying, well, we'll see if it's safe. If we go ahead, we might not go ahead. There is not the political urgency right now with the price of natural gas the way it is. In 2008, it was three times what it is now. There's a lot more money on the table. There was landmen that were much more active. They were essentially holding big lease deals in front of landowners' noses, making them very eager to lease their land. And so there was much more of a political urgency in 2008. Since then, the price of gas has dropped. There's a glut in the market. And I think that's one reason we're seeing this being dragged out as long as it has been. In addition to all the health concerns.
So does the industry say things like we're looking at leases that are expiring, we're concerned about Pennsylvania taking some of our natural gas drilling business, or are they kind of quiet because the price of gas is low right now?
Well, a little bit of both. I mean, the industry in New York, IAGA New York, which is the one industry group that represents New York industry, has been pushing hard to bring the industry in. But by and large, a lot of the operators have said, well, we have what we can handle down in Pennsylvania. There is the question of leases expiring up here in New York, and that gets to be a complicated legal question. The industry has tried to use this idea of force majeure to hang on to its land holdings up here before they expire, and force majeure essentially says, we can extend these leases because this is this moratorium in New York is unforeseen circumstances for us, circumstances beyond our control. Now, the courts have sided with landowners on several case studies with this where the courts have said, no, industry can't do that. Once the leases expire, then the landowners can renegotiate. So there are all these questions about that unfolding land play about who can hold on to the land, how long they can hold on to the land, the resources underneath. I mean, it makes it very compelling.
George, in Manhattan, you have some property near where fracking might take place. Are you following this process?
Yes, I am following it very closely.
And what do you think?
Well, I think that, first of all, we don't need the gas nor oil at this time. So there's no reason, if we have concerns about health and we have concerns about the environment, particularly concerns about future access to water. I mean, you know, we don't have unlimited supplies of fresh aquifers. This is a very, very limiting, and we're having more and more drought situations throughout the nation because of the global warming. So why deplete our water resources when we don't even need the natural gas or oil? I mean, it's greed. Particularly, people want money for these resources. We don't need them. And it's greedy to say for the future to deny our children, our grandchildren, water in terms of oil, which gives us, which we don't need now, or natural gas, which we don't need now. It seems silly. It's absolutely absurd, in fact. Our water resources, how much water do we use or have to use in order to engage in fracking? An incredible amount of water.
Well, thanks for your call, George. Tom, let me ask you, so there's the timeline that industry has, which is, you know, in large part dominated by when leases expire, but also what the price of gas might be. But there's also the timeline that the U.S. has for being energy independent with domestic energy. Last month, the International Energy Agency released their annual World Energy Outlook, and they predicted that the U.S. would be energy independent by 2030. So how does natural gas fit into that mix when we're talking about energy independence in the U.S.?
Oh, that's a huge aspect to the political mix here. And it's hard to talk about natural gas development without talking about coal, without talking about overseas development, and without talking about importing or exporting these things. And essentially, the big picture is natural gas is seen as an alternative to coal. We have an abundant coal supply in this country, and coal has largely supplied a lot of our energy. And now it's apparent that with hydraulic fracturing, let's just put the health and environmental aspects aside for a minute, with hydraulic fracturing, we have an abundant natural gas supply, and the argument is, well, natural gas is cleaner burning than coal. So let's develop that, and we can develop this domestic energy for heating our homes, and in particular the electric-generating stations that are primarily fueled by coal now.
We just heard that global carbon emissions are at an all-time high, but in the U.S. they're actually at a 20-year low. So is that in part because of movement domestically from burning coal to relying more on natural gas?
That's the argument. The other part of that, of course, is the economy has been down, and there's just not as much energy use. So I think it's a combination of these things. In looking at the carbon footprint, that's big. There's an argument now about methane. Methane is a potent greenhouse gas. What impact will that have? When you fuel switch, when you go from coal to natural gas, how will that affect global warming? There's arguments on both sides. Some say that natural gas with the methane emissions and the methane leaks that are throughout mm-hmm. the system is no better, and in fact worse than coal. And others say, well, when you factor in the mercury, particulate matter, CO2, natural gas is much better than coal. There is also the issue when you're talking about domestic independence about exports, and whether the United States will become an exporter of natural gas.
Huh. So we're following what's happening at the state level with their various reviews, an environmental review, a health review, the draft regulations that the Cuomo administration submitted last week. But at the same time, at the local level, towns and counties are looking at bans for fracking. How do they fit in with the mix of what's happening at the state level?
Yeah, this is really important, and I'm glad you brought that up. So we have the national level. We have the state level, we have the local level. And local level is important because the industry needs large contiguous acreage to develop a shale gas play. That, in that way, it is different from conventional gas, with relatively isolated geographical pockets. Shale gas is built out on a much broader scale, more uniform, many more square miles with a pipeline and the infrastructure. So what happens is, according to the industry, is we really need this to be uniform and contiguous, and the state regulates this. and it gives us this uniformity and predictability. Now, local municipalities are saying, look, this does not fit into our land use. It just doesn't fit into our political culture or our zoning or our land use requirements, and we're going to ban gas. And two local municipalities have done that, at least two, but there's two that are being tested in the courts right now. And the industry has challenged that and said you can't ban it because the state controls it, and the courts, the Supreme Court, New York's lower court, has so far sided with the municipalities. And what this does is, and there's a similar thing happening in Pennsylvania, the industry says, if we have local municipalities opting out here and there, it really breaks up this our development pattern, makes it much less feasible to develop the resource.
Huh, interesting. So you said the industry has come out against some of these local bans, but is that another political calculation that the Cuomo administration may have to make? Is if the ban is lifted, are they going to compel local municipalities and local communities to make sure drilling happens there?
Yes, well, the Cuomo administration has made that calculation, and he said that what we're going to do is go ahead and begin permitting in areas where the municipalities want it, mm-hmm. and we're not going to go where municipalities don't want it. That is a good answer in the short term politically, but long term it raises all sorts of questions. Not the least of which are, can you legally take a mineral rights away from a landowner in one area but not in the other? Or if this is not safe to do in one area, such as the New York City watershed where they are banning it altogether, why is it safe to do in other areas? So, yes, that's been the political approach, is we'll begin this slowly. The price, and I think that's another instance where this is helped by the fact that there's no political urgency because of the price of gas is low. So they can begin it slow. They can begin it here and there. But what happens, down the road long term, if price of natural gas goes up, this displaces coal. And there's going to be a lot more legal challenges about, well, can you do this uniformly or can't you do it uniformly?
Huh. So another 90-day deadline has been put in place. There's also a new public comment period that begins on December 12th. Do you think that we'll really get some clarity on this in February?
Well, yes, I think there's going to have to be some more clarity. I don't know whether it'll be crystal clear by February, but here's things to keep in mind. It's a 30-day public comment period that begins on December 12th, and it's not the same public hearing process that you've seen in the past where everybody goes to an auditorium and speaks up in front of the DEC and says their bit, and there's a stenographer keeping everything, all the testimony on record. This is a written public comment period for 30 days where people write down their assessment and they send it into the DEC, and the DEC can respond very generally, but they don't have to make all those responses, they don't have to make those all part of another draft. They can issue the final regulations with a response to these written comments. So I guess this isn't quite the public comment period that we've seen in the past. That's important to remember. And the other thing is, I think by late February, early March, whenever the 90-day extension expires, the Cuomo administration is really going to have to say we're going ahead or not going ahead. It said as much already in a statement. We're saying, look, we're going to get these regulations in place, and then we'll decide whether we're going ahead. So I think there will be some sort of clarity to it. I do believe there's going to be legal challenges, and there's going to be all the murkiness of interpretation of the process and what the technicalities of the regs are. But I think we're going to get a better sense whether the Cuomo administration is committed or not committed to moving ahead.
So we'll likely get the Cuomo administration on record by February. Tom Wilbur is the author of Under the Surface, Fracking Fortunes and the Fate of the Marcellus Shale. You can read more from him at tomwilbur.blogspot.com. It's a great way to follow the ins and outs of all of this. Thank you so much for joining us again, Tom.
Thank you, Anna. Great. My pleasure.
Coming up, we're going to be looking at credit checks for job applicants and if they should happen. I'm Anna Sale in for Brian Lehrer.